Father, we started out singing today that we're leaning on the everlasting arms. And we're leaning on your goodness. We're leaning on your truth, believing that the things you say about us are the truest things about us. And I pray for some people in this room today that just need to let the truth in that they are loved by you. And that's who they are. They're not the sum total of their worst choices. They're not a mistake. Their life is redeemable. You came to give them hope and a future because you're a good, good Father. God, when we say that word, it means something different to all of us. We all have this earthly view of what fatherhood is. God, show us through the word today what you mean when you say, that this Redeemer, this Messiah that was going to be born into the world in a manger in Bethlehem, prophesied 700 years before the baby was born, that baby would be an everlasting Father. Show us what that means today, God. Open your word. Open our hearts to it. Speak to us. Move among us. It's our gift to have an audience with you today, God. So Holy Spirit, would you be our teacher? And all God's people said, amen. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Isaiah, the 9th chapter. We're going to revisit that we've been looking at for a couple of weeks. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says this, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and of His peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." We're in the third week of Advent, and we've been using the phrase, "Love has a name." And we've been looking at the names of Jesus given through the prophet Isaiah 700 years before the Messiah's birth. And it's, as you study it, it might not be four different names. It might be like one big, long, hyphenated name. Like, He's not just the Wonderful Counselor. He's not just the Mighty God. He's not just the Everlasting Father. He's not just the Prince of Peace. He's hyphenated, hyphenated, hyphenated. And this mic seems a little hyphenated. I'm not sure, but I can go handheld if I need to. But this morning, we're going to be looking at two words. Everlasting Father. And when I started looking at this, it kind of weirded me out a little bit. Because we're not talking about God. We're talking about Jesus, right? "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, his name will be called," all these things. And one of those things that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will be called is Everlasting. So in the words of Gary Coleman's favorite character, what you talking about? I mean, seriously, are we talking about God or are we talking about Jesus? Isaiah is surely not trying to confuse the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with the first person of the Godhead, Yahweh, God the Father. Let's have a little Trinity practice here. The three parts of the Trinity are God the three in one. Three parts, co-equal, but separate. Hear me say this. Isaiah is not trying to tell you that God and Jesus are the same, that Jesus is God or that God is Jesus. The early church denounced this kind of teaching. This kind of teaching is out there right now, and it's called modalism. It's a heretical teaching, and this is kind of what it says. It says that instead of three parts of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, co-equal, pre-existent, for all time, that God is really just one person. And He chose to reveal Himself in three different forms throughout history. So in the Old Testament, they would say that God chose to reveal Himself as God the Father. And then in the Incarnation, God changed forms and He presented Himself as Jesus, a baby in a manger, who grew up, walked around the earth for about 33 years, was crucified, and went back to heaven. And after the ascension, God changed Himself again into the Holy Spirit. And so God is just one God with three forms, and they're never together. It's like, have any of you seen The Shack? It kind of weirds me out. I'm a fan, but there's parts of that movie that I really love, the that shows the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit having in that movie. But it did kind of freak me out when God, who was an African-American woman, turned into an old dude, white dude. Just like that, right? Am I remembering this right? You're looking at me like I'm not saying this is in the Bible, okay? This is just in that movie. Anyway, it kind of freaked me out, but as I kind of studied on modelism, I think it's kind of that way. That's kind of what they're saying, that God just kind of morphs into these different forms. That's not at all what Isaiah is talking about here. As a matter of fact, I think, Isaiah's seeing this vision. He's writing down these words directly from God. I don't even think he's thinking about the Trinity when he says everlasting Father. I think he's talking about characteristics of the Messiah. Characteristics of this child that will be born and turn into a wonderful counselor to his people. He will show himself to be a mighty God. He will show himself to be an everlasting Father. Not God the Father, but an everlasting Father to all those that he would redeem. Okay, so that's kind of where it's coming from. We're not talking about heretical teaching that Jesus is, because there's a lot, it's crazy stuff, because Jesus says, I and the Father, we're one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But he's not saying that they're exactly the same. No, there's three parts to God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And here, we're not talking about the Trinity. Okay, we're talking about how Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, would one day relate to you. And to you. And to you. All of you. All those who He redeems. Okay, so are you with me so far? So, I heard nothing. I heard crickets. Okay. So we're going to look at two words. Everlasting Father. We're going to take the second word first, just because I like to be confusing. So we're going to look at just the term Father. Okay? And there are a few words in any human spoken language that stir more emotions or feelings than the word Father. Because some of you, at this very moment, a week till Christmas, for some of you, this is a very, very sad time. It's a very sad time because maybe Father's not with you anymore. Maybe you lost him recently. Jenny Mingy lost her father last week, just buried him. Some of you in the last 12 months have lost your father. And so this is not a joyful time for you. Some of you are just sad because you don't feel like you ever had the father that you would have wanted. When you hear the word father, you don't think loving, almighty, nurturing God. You think of this human form of a father that you had that let you down, that maybe hurt you deeply. And all of us, whether you knew your father or not, you had one. Okay? And so you all have a different picture of it. I want to tell you a little bit about my father today. My mom today. And she's sitting next to Jerry, but Jerry's my father. We don't look much alike. We're both white dudes and getting older. But other than that, he went to Texas A&M. And gig him. I'm grateful for Jerry. God brought Jerry into my mom's life shortly after my dad passed, and he has been incredible to her every moment of every day since, and I'm grateful. But my dad's name was Stanley Paul Zimmerman. He was born December the 19th, 1932, and he died on February 25th, 1998. His 85th birthday would be the day after tomorrow. How many years were you married, Mom? 46 years. My father passed away on the very same day that we found out that we were expecting Caleb. And so it was like this beautiful picture of the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And my dad never got to meet Caleb, but I see a lot of his life in his eyes. Always have. My father was a good man. Let me tell you a few things about him. He was an Air Force veteran. Worked in a refinery for years and years and years. He was a faithful husband, 47 years to my mom. He was strong. He was quiet. He was gruff. Even before he lost his voice, he kind of growled at you. Have you ever met my dog, Charlie? There's a little bit of peepaw in him. My dad loved to tease his daughters-in-law. He would rather tease Angie and make fun of her just about silly stuff than he would eat or drink. I mean, he just loved it. That's who he was. He loved babies. He was a wonderful grandfather. They knew him as Peepaw. He loved to hunt and to fish. He could tolerate pain like no one I ever knew. I mean, I sunk a fish hook in the center of his back in the middle of the lake. He loved fishing with me. And he tried to get me to get the hook out. I'm not that good at getting fish hooks out of fish's mouths, much less grown men's back. Okay? So one of my other brothers is on the lake, and so my dad tells me, after I kind of fiddle with this hook and I just make it hurt worse, says, sit down. Drives across the lake to find my other brother and makes him push this fish hook through and cut it off. And his facial expression never changed until he looked at me later. He loved the Dallas Cowboys, and to this day I don't watch a Dallas Cowboy game without picturing him sitting next to me. He ate bologna and cheese sandwiches every day that he worked at the refinery. And not just a regular bologna and cheese sandwich. It had that sandwich spread stuff that's not really mayonnaise, and it's not really... nobody really knows what it is. We've got pickle relish and stuff in it. You know what I'm talking about? I think they quit making it when my dad passed. He could fix anything. And he would not replace something if there was any possibility that it could be fixed. He'd go fishing, and he would put his Cokes in the same cooler that his fish were in. And he just... never flinched. It's like, you want some? No, thanks. For years, I wouldn't drink Coke out of a can because I thought they all inherently smelt like fish. He wanted mashed potatoes with every meal. He would eat peanut butter and crackers for supper every Sunday night because that's the night Mom took us to church. And so she wouldn't cook that night. She put her foot down. Every other night, she made him mashed potatoes. But that night, he'd eat peanut butter and crackers. And guys, when I think of them, the memories like that just come flooding back. And when you think of people you love, that happens, right? And I'll carry those with me the rest of my life, okay? But here's the deal. My dad was not perfect. And neither was yours. No matter how dearly you loved them, how closely you cherished these memories, they were not perfect. And here's some other things about my dad, okay? He was not the kind of father that engaged in my world, really. Like, he would drag me into his. Like, for family vacation, every year, what did we do, Mom? Hunting or fishing? He talked me out of playing baseball one year because he wanted to leave to go on vacation a day early and tryouts were the next day. He bribed me with a yo-yo. And I took it. I would be a Major League Baseball player right now had it not been for that yellow Duncan butterfly yo-yo. I got to get over this. Hang on a second. Guys, my dad was not one of those guys that was in the stands every time. Like, I played basketball. Well, I sat on the bench in high school on the basketball team. And for some reason, my dad didn't think it was that cool to watch me get red spots on the top of my knees like this. And so he was seldom in the stands. I don't remember baseball games, and I played a lot of them. I don't remember him being because it was just different then. He didn't parent that way. He was not a spiritual leader in our home. My mom took me to church, kicking and screaming. I had more stomach aches as a kid. And it was really because professional wrestling, I'm not a wrestling fan right now, but it used to be on Friday nights in Houston, but they would show it tape delayed on Sunday mornings in Beaumont on one of the three channels that we got. And so I would fake being sick, stay home and watch wrestling. Have I ever confessed that to you, Mom? That's the only thing I've ever done that I haven't told you about. By the way, don't go back and listen to any of my sermons from before this, okay? He wasn't a spiritual leader, but he was supportive of us going. He'd make sure we went with Mom. But see, this was the deal. My dad loved to hunt and fish, and I already told you what I did with a fish hook in his back. Who knows what I would have done with a gun? And so my brother fished with him. I didn't touch. And they fixed cars with him, but I didn't much. I couldn't fix a car. And so there were times when those areas of my life came up, I always felt like I just didn't measure up. If you have daddy memories like that, just a memory, an area of your life. Brock and I were talking about this the other day. Just that we can remember them clearly, just that feeling of not feeling like you measure up in some way. And you call those daddy wounds. And all of us have them, and they're all different. Okay, no matter how good or how bad your father was, we all carry that stuff around. And I suspect that there's some people in this room right now still dealing with some of that kind of stuff. Like thinking, I'm a grown person. I should be able to get over this and move on. Why is that still with me? See, the truth is that all of us, we have these different definitions. And I told you, I love my father, and I have all these beautiful memories. And then there's some that are just kind of, oh man, I don't even like to go there. I like to wish like I didn't feel that. But admitting those things lets you move on from those things. And this is what I don't want you to do, church, because this is what we do all the time. We assign those hurts to God. And we act like, well, my father let me down in this way. Surely God's going to let everybody else has let me down. Because we use these human words to try to describe this infinitely holy God. And no matter how good your father is, the word father in your mind is not adequate to describe Jesus. Does that make sense to you? See, every shortcoming that we assigned to the title Father does not apply to Jesus Christ. See, this coming Messiah would be a true Father in every sense of the word, perfect. So everything that you ever dreamed a Father could be, everything you ever wanted from that relationship with your earthly Father, Jesus is, can be, will be faithful to be that for you. He'll be a perfectly father-like shepherd in every way. See, we have someone who fathers us perfectly, but not just perfectly, forever. See, everlasting Father. You see, that kind of rings a bell with me because I had a father once, and he's not here anymore. I didn't have a father forever in my earthly father, and neither do you. I'm a father right now. I'm a father to Cody and Valencia and Kayla, and I'm their father today. But guess what? I'm not going to be their father forever. I can make all the promises in the world that I'm never going to leave you. I'm always going to be there. I'm not in control of that. And some of you have spent a lot of your life reeling from the fact your parents aren't together. Maybe because one of them's passed, or maybe they just decided it was too hard to be together, and so they made a choice that changed the course of your life. Somewhere he whispers in your ear, yeah, they made me promises, but they didn't keep them. God, you won't keep them either. It's not true. See, He's a good, good Father. Forever. Everlasting Father. See, once we become a child of Christ, we are His and He is ours forever. Forever. There will be no goodbyes with Him. You're never going to have to say a tearful goodbye to Jesus. Because when you die, guess what? You're with Jesus. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, "There is no unfathering Christ, and there is no unchilding us." No matter what you've done, no matter what road you're walking down, if you are truly in Christ, there is no chance that He's going to lose you. The Word says that I will not lose one of those that my Father has given to me. That's Jesus' words talking about you and me. Guys, there's hope in that. There's no unfathering Christ. If we translated Everlasting Father literally into English, this is what it would say. Father of eternity. Jesus Christ, this baby that was going to be born, that we celebrated Christmas, became the Father of eternity. In what way? He was already there in the beginning. Eternity already existed. But in what way is He the Father of eternity? He's the Father of eternity because He made eternity with God possible for you and me. See, without Him, we would have never made it. We don't have a chance because we can't keep the law. But this everlasting Father, Jesus Christ, gives us eternal life. He makes eternity possible for us through His death, burial, and resurrection. Just like a father provides Christmas presents for his children. Any fathers feeling the pressure this week? Like your kids, they want certain things and you want to give them the things that they want? In the same way, except in a perfect and holy way and in a way that is not bound by earthly resources, Jesus Christ, your eternal Father, provided the best gift you could ever have, eternal life. And guess what? There's no other way to get it. You can't be good enough. Can't go to church enough. Can't memorize the Bible enough. Can't be charitable enough. Can't give enough money away. None of that is going to get you eternal life. Only Jesus, the eternal Father, gives it. Listen to this quote from Charles Spurgeon. I love this. It says, "Christ is called the Everlasting Father because He does not Himself as a Father die or vacate His office. He is still the federal bead, the Father of His people, still the founder of gospel truth and of every Christian system, not allowing archbishops or popes to be His vicars and to take His place." He ain't going nowhere. He's the Everlasting Father. But here's a sweet thought. Spurgeon says this, "He neither Himself dies nor becomes childless. He does not lose His children. If His church could perish, He would not be the Father. How a father without a son? And this is the best of all, that He is an everlasting Father to all those to whom He is Father at all." And then he goes a little King James here. "If thou hast entered into this relationship, so as to be in union with Christ and to be covered with the skirts of His garment, thou art His child and thou shalt be forever." Jesus Christ is an everlasting Father. He's the Father that your earthly father could never be. He's a forever Father. You know, Safe, I remember, I kind of grew up in the hood. I mean, Mom and I were talking about that the other day. The place I grew up is really pretty strange. I mean, my dad would sit out on the porch with a shotgun because some people across the street kept shooting bottle rockets at our house. If he were here right now, he would be part of the Whitestone Militia. He would be one of you guys out. Well, never mind. Anyway. I remember how safe I always felt when Dad was home. You know? It's like when Mom was there, I felt pretty safe because, I mean, she's pretty mean too sometimes. I mean, she holds her own. Love you too, Mom. But when Dad was home, you know, you just slept better. You didn't worry about every sound you heard outside. That's the kind of Father that Jesus is to us. You see, because perfect love casts out fear. And Jesus is perfect love. I want to tell you three ways before I'm done. Three ways that Jesus is an everlasting Father. Okay? You still with me? Stephen Johnson, your hair looks magnificent today, I must say. Lola, you okay in the back there? Lola, get up from under the table. Okay, there you go. So the whole room's still with me. Just three kind of simple ways, I guess, that when you think about Jesus, we don't think about Him being our Father, do we? I mean, do you have this thought? When you think about Jesus, do you think about Him being a Father to you? Because it's a game changer if you realize all the best parts of that relationship, that's what He came to model for us, okay? The first way is this, that Jesus is our source of life. He's the life giver. You know, I know how babies are made, okay? We've had a few ourselves, okay? But Angie could be just as fertile as anything, and if nothing comes along, you know what I'm saying? The Father is kind of the life giver. Jesus is our life giver. Without Him, no life pulses through our veins at all. Just look at the book of John. Just hear this. John 1:4. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. John 6:68. The disciples are saying, hey, where else are we going to go? Because You alone have the words of eternal life. John 10:10. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came to give what? Life. And life to the full. Guys, there is no life apart from Jesus. Whatever you defined as life, whatever you're chasing hard after, teenagers, listen to me. I said this to you a couple weeks ago. Whatever you think you can't live without, that you're just chasing and thinking, this is life, man, this is living. No. No. There is a way that seems right to a man, but at the end, it leads to death. Guys, there is no other life, okay? Jesus is the life giver. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Are you seeing a theme here in the book of John? I am the life. And there's no way to the Father but by me. Not only am I the way, the truth, and the life, all those other things that say they're going to deliver are not going to deliver life. Oh, they'll deliver something else. Are you hearing me? See, none of us... See, these bodies are wearing out. Is anybody else aware of that but me? I mean, the first time, it's only the first time every morning when I have to walk down the stairs. But something just doesn't work right the first time. And I have to walk down the stairs kind of sideways. Just kind of like that. My kids make fun of me about it. It's not the second time. The second time I can do it fine. But how long is it going to be before the second time I'm going to be going down the other way sideways? You know what I'm saying? Guys, this life is so much shorter now to me than it ever has been. I am just so aware of people that I love that were here yesterday and they're not here today. Guys, we need to cling to the undying Christ because we are dying people. See, Jesus defeated death. He didn't deliver us from the physical part of going through it, but He conquered the other side of it. And He gave us life that continues. Guys, He is the life giver. Just like a father is a life giver to a baby, Jesus is a life giver to us. And we define life as all these different things that really make us feel really bad in the end. It's the first thing. The second way that I think that Jesus is a Father to us, an everlasting Father, is, you know, one of my favorite things was listening to my father tell me stories about his father. You know? My grandfather, man, he was awesome. He had the biggest ears. He's one of those guys that his ears never stopped growing. Like probably when he was a normal, 30-year-old guy, he had normal-sized ears. Anybody ever seen Paul Feinbaum on the SEC? Dude has some ears like you could catch a wind and take off with those ears. My grandfather was like that. My dad would tell me stories about him. And I was just fascinated by him. He could wiggle his ears. He could do ear tricks. I mean, who could do that? It was awesome. My dad knew things about his father that I didn't know. Guess who is the only one that can tell us about the character of his father? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only window we have into the heart and the character of God the Father. Jesus is one nature and essence with the Father. Listen to what Jesus said about Himself. I and the Father am one. No one understands that the Father is in me and that I'm in the Father. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. The Father is in me and I'm in the Father. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says. He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. By the power of His word. By the word of power. I think either one works. The radiance of the glory of God, exact imprint. Guys, Jesus is our Father because He shows us what the Father is really like. Listen to Colossians 1. Chapter 15 through 20. Chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Talking about Jesus. One of our "we will" statements here at Whitestone Church is we will make much of Jesus, right? This is the "we will make much of Jesus" verse in the Bible. There's a whole book about Him. I would boil it down to this. Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created. In heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the church. He is the beginning. The first, never going to die. Never going to everything. He never going to forsake Him. I know, Scott, Nicole tries to tell you be imminent in this home, right? And then she does this little preeminent is not one of our words that we use because it doesn't apply to any of you. It applies to no one in the whole universe except for Jesus Christ. In all things, He is bigger, He is better, He is more important. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not like He's kind of okay. He is preeminent in everything. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace by the blood of His cross. He's the exact image of God. Guys, when I talk to my dad about my grandfather, he could tell me about my grandfather wiggling his ears, but he couldn't wiggle his own ears. Does that make sense? He could tell me stories, but he couldn't actually do all the cool things that my grandfather did. Guess what? Jesus can. And He's the only one who can. He's a Father to you because He makes it possible for you to know the Father, Yahweh. Does that make sense? Last thing is this, and I'm done. Jesus is our everlasting Father because He represents the family. Without Him, there is no family. I was thinking about this the other day, Mom. I really miss family reunion thing. At Grandma Jones's house. My mom's mom was the matriarch of her family, and she lived to be Methuselah kind of old, okay? like almost 100, okay? She almost got her picture on a Smucker's jar. Didn't quite make it. Some of you are too young to even know what that means. Like Gracie's looking at me like, I don't get that. You will. Go watch the Today Show or something. Anyway, when she passed, the whole family stopped getting together. You know? Anybody have a family like that? Like there was that one person that when they left, you realize after they're gone, they're the glue that held everything together. Jesus Christ is our everlasting Father because He is the glue that holds the whole family together. He represents every tribe that follows Him. He represents all His descendants. He stands before God and represents you right now. Seated at the right hand of the Father, representing you because you have no defense without Him. He is our everlasting Father. The Bible calls Him the second Adam. Not A-T-O-M, but A-D-A-M. You know who Adam was? Adam and Eve, first man and woman, right? Well, Adam in the Bible, well, he's the first Adam. Why? Because he was the first Adam. His name was Adam, and he was the first man. You got that so far? Okay? But he represented all of us in the garden. And he represented all the hope of perfection with God. All his obedience should have been passed down to us, but instead, his disobedience was passed down to us. And the Bible tells us that because of his sin, all of mankind was cursed. And death became the end game for humanity. Okay? You're all aware of that story. Like, you weren't in the garden. You ever thought, man, Adam, thanks a lot. Like, I wasn't there. I don't even like apples. But we are all guilty before God because of Adam, the first Adam. Y'all tracking with me there? I mean, if you've never heard that before, it can be kind of freaky to think about. See, the curse of the fall came on us because Adam stood as a representative for us. He was the head of our family. And he fell, and so all of us fell with him. That's why when you were born, no matter how cute a little girl you were, how much you love puppies, you're evil. Guys, nobody had to teach you how to make a gun out of your hand, did they? And if you find a stick, you just want to beat somebody with it. Go back and look at Langston and Riggs back there in the back right now. I guarantee you they got somebody in a headlock. Nobody had to teach them that. Because we're all born into sin because we're the representative of our family fell. And so all of us have to deal with this sin problem. And if the story ended right there, we'd all be toast. But it didn't end. See, our first birth, we came under fatherhood of the first Adam. But in our second birth, when you're born again, when you're like Nicodemus, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, you got to be born again. When you're born again, you're not born to Adam. You're born to the second Adam. And the second Adam is the only other person who's ever walked that could be the representative for all humanity. The Pope can't do it. Billy Graham couldn't do it. Doesn't matter. Gandhi couldn't, nobody, no matter how good you are, Samuel L. Jackson definitely couldn't do it. Morgan Freeman playing God, I don't care how many times he plays God in a movie. He can't do it. Only Jesus has the feet to step into those shoes and be the representative for all humanity. And when you're born that second time, instead of shame, you get grace. Instead of judgment, you get mercy. Instead of hell, you get heaven. Instead of despair, you get hope. See, everything that was not in play because of sin becomes possible because of Jesus, the everlasting Father. See, I've kind of grown fond of thinking of Jesus as my everlasting Father. Because if one person is going to represent me before God the Father, I'm choosing Him. When I stand before God on Judgment Day, I want the blood of Jesus to cover me because there's nothing I've done that's going to be close to good enough to satisfy a righteous and holy God. But the representative of my family, the leader of my tribe, is Jesus Christ. Is He yours? Or are you possibly thinking, maybe I'll just figure it out. Today, hopefully I'll just do enough to get in. You ought to be thankful today, church, that He is an everlasting Father. He's a life giver. He's the one that shows us what God is really like. And He's the only one who can. Is that who you're celebrating this Advent season? When you think about the family gatherings over the next week or so, just think about, maybe put an extra chair in the room. And don't let anybody sit in it. And every time you look at it, you think, Everlasting Father, head of this family, never going to die, never going to leave us, never going to forsake us, never going to be not enough. He's here. And while there might be a lot of undone stuff in your lives, the awareness that the Everlasting Father is never going to leave you or forsake you, it can be a game changer for you. Pray with me. Father, I just pray for some people in this place that just desperately need to let that truth in. And to let go of some stuff that they think has disqualified them from it, or just need appetites for earthly things taken away. Maybe they just need to taste and see that You're good again. Maybe they need to die to some definitions of what a father has meant to them in the past. And allow You to show them. Whatever you need to do, I pray you do it in this place as we stand together and we worship in response to what we've heard today. God, would You move in this place? Holy Spirit, we just want to do what You want us to do. So, God, give us the strength to take that first step, trusting that You're going to meet us there. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.